Take your Bibles and open them to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Would you please stand for the reading of God's holy word? Galatians chapter 5, I'll begin reading in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. As parents, we want to help our children avoid those activities that will have bad consequences. We try to help them by telling them what the consequences of certain behaviors will be. Our hope is that if they understand the consequences, they won't engage in those activities. We do that because we love them. We do that because we care about them. We do that because we want them to glorify God with their lives and in their behavior. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit's work, in the Here's the Gospel in Galatia, was the father, the spiritual father, of those who came to faith in Christ. He feels a responsibility for the members of the church at Galatia. He is concerned about them and the influence of a false gospel. He warns them in chapter 5 of the consequences of this false gospel. He wants them to know the consequences so that they will not engage in the behavior that will result in these consequences. Now, Paul has told the Galatians that it was for freedom that Christ had set them free. That's what the epistle has been about thus far. He has told them that through faith in Christ, they have been justified. They are free then from seeking justification through obedience to the law. He has told them that Christ has set them free or delivered them from this present evil age. He has told them that they have been set free from the elementary principles of this world. He has told them that Christ has set them free from the curse of the law. He has told them that Christ has set them free from the ceremonial laws and from the traditions of men. The danger that they were facing is that they were going to give up this freedom that they had in Christ in order to go back into bondage, to be re-enslaved, if you will. Paul is gravely concerned about their spiritual condition. And so he warns them of the deadly dangers that await them if they go back to the law as a means of being justified in the sight of God. The consequences are given to us in verses 2, 3, and 4. Now, Paul notes the seriousness of what he is saying by writing, "Indeed, I, Paul, say to you." The word "indeed" can be translated "behold," which means to look, to see, or to perceive. The meaning in this context is this. Paul is saying to them, listen up. Pay special attention to what I am about to say. Because what I am going to say to you is of a vital spiritual importance. By saying, I, Paul, he is emphasizing both his personal relationship with the Galatians and his apostolic authority. This isn't just anyone who is speaking to them. It is Paul. It is the one through whom they had received the gospel and had responded to the gospel. It is Paul, the one who discipled them in the faith. It is Paul who had been given by Christ the gospel to preach to all men. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And when he speaks with apostolic authority. And when he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is Paul speaking to them. Behold, or indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised. Circumcision is the issue that Paul is concerned about. He says in verse 3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised. Now, circumcision in and of itself was not a big deal. You might remember that Paul had Timothy circumcised because Timothy was a Gentile. And the reason that Paul had Timothy circumcised is because they were taking the gospel to the Jews, and Paul didn't want there to be any barrier to the Jews hearing the gospel. And so we had Timothy, a Gentile, circumcised. The problem with circumcision was that circumcision to the Judaizers was necessary for salvation. You might remember in the book of Acts, in that First General Assembly, that council that met together in Jerusalem, that they met together because there were some who were saying that unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Circumcision was a major issue because Paul understood that what was really at stake was the justification of sinners. What makes a person right with God? Getting circumcised was a way of saying that sinners had to do something to get right with God. This is what Paul meant when he spoke of those who attempt to be justified by the law in chapter 5 at verse 4. He was talking about circumcision as something that stood for a commitment to obey the entire law of God in order to be justified in the sight of God. circumcision the Judaizers taught was necessary, and a commitment to obey the entire law of God was necessary for a person to be saved. Yes, faith in Christ. But in addition to faith in Christ, there must be circumcision and obedience to the law. In other words, if you commit yourself to circumcision, you are committing yourself to a works righteousness. A works righteousness that is added to the work and the righteousness of Christ. Either people are justified before God partly by what they do for themselves, or they are justified exclusively by what Christ has done for them. When the Galatians were thinking about getting circumcised, they were really thinking about getting justified. According to F.F. Bruce, and I quote, "They could seek justification through faith in Christ and obtain it, or they could seek it through legal works and miss it. To seek it through faith in Christ was to seek it on the ground of God's grace. To seek it through legal works was to seek it on the ground of their own merit." End of quote. Circumcision was a way of saying that Jesus Christ is not enough for the Galatians, that they needed something more. It was a way of saying that they needed to add their work to the work of Christ, their own work to the work of the Savior. The great English Bible scholar J.B. Lightfoot explained it like this: "Circumcision is the seal of the law. He who willingly and deliberately undergoes circumcision enters upon a pact to fulfill the law. To fulfill it, therefore, he is bound, and he cannot plead the grace of Christ, for he has entered on another mode of justification." And you see, what Paul is putting before the Galatians is this antithesis. It is either works or faith. It cannot be both. You cannot and will not be justified by adding your works to faith in Christ. Now the verb "become circumcised" is present passive subjunctive. This suggests that Paul is not thinking of the future act of being circumcised, but of his convert's present decision to become circumcised. They had not yet been circumcised, but they were seriously thinking about it. And in order to persuade them not to get circumcised, Paul gives them three fatal consequences of circumcision as a means of justification. First, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, these are startling words, and we need to take them to heart. We need to listen. This is a serious matter. Christ will profit you nothing. Second, he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Third, you have become estranged from Christ. You have fallen from grace. The first thing Paul says is that if you add works to faith in Christ, Christ will profit you nothing. Now, the word "profit" means aid, benefit, or be of use to. The apostle said something similar back in chapter 2. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. trying to get right with God by getting circumcised or by doing anything else, according to Paul, the apostle, makes Christ utterly useless. Why is this? Well, because if we can be justified by the works of the law, then we don't need Christ. We don't need His righteousness. If we can be justified by the works of the law, then Christ and His work isn't necessary. Justification is either by law or by grace. Either by works or by faith. Either we can rely on observing the law or we can trust Christ alone to bear its curse on our behalf. We cannot do both. With Christ, it is all or nothing. To receive Him by faith is to admit that we cannot save ourselves. The Judaizers' doctrine is deadly because it says that Jesus is not enough. That Jesus did not achieve a perfect redemption. That the Savior's blood does not really cleanse. That the imputation of Christ's righteousness is not adequate. If we will not let Christ do everything for us, He can do nothing for us. At least as far as our justification is concerned. If we try to help ourselves, Christ is of no help to us at all. Linsky says, listen to this. I quote, "Stand on Christ with both feet and you are safe. Place one foot on something else, that something else gives way. Christ is the entire bridge. On Him you may cross safely. But if only one foot of that bridge is made something else, the whole bridge collapses. This is a case of either all or none. 99% of Christ plus 1% of anything else is just as fatal as no percent of Christ. All the saving power lies in Him, and no less than all of it saves. Any system that is synergistic, that is, that adds the work of men to the work of Christ, no matter how small, is heretical and deadly. To illustrate the problem with this kind of theology, Philip Rankin gives this illustration. There's a man, he says, who had an old baseball. It was autographed by Babe Ruth. The man had heard that the ball might be valuable, so he decided to sell it. He was worried, however, because the signature was badly faded. And so he decided to take a permanent magic marker. And what he was going to do is trace over the autograph. That's all. He was just going to trace over it. But in tracing over it, he took what was valuable and made it worthless. Brothers and sisters, it is the same with Christ. His finished work is enough. And if we try to add our works to His work, we destroy the work of Christ. Paul says I say to you that if you become circumcised, if you commit yourself to obedience to the law as a means of justification, adding to the work of Christ your own work, Christ profits you nothing. Nada. Not a single thing. Is that pretty serious? Absolutely. The second deadly consequence of basing salvation on our own work is that we become debtors to the law. Paul wrote, "And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law." Paul says, "I bear witness." This means that Paul is making a solemn declaration that deserves the utmost respect. These are words the apostle is willing to swear are true. If any are circumcised, not only does Christ profit them nothing, but they are committing themselves to keep the whole law. If you're going to be justified by the works of the law, then your works have to be perfect. Paul wrote earlier in the epistle at verse 10 of chapter 3, "For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." If you don't do every single thing perfectly, if you don't do the law fully, then you're under what? You're under a curse. And Paul says to the Galatians, you need to realize that if you are circumcised and commit yourself to obedience to the law as a means of justification, then you become a debtor to do the whole law. And what's the problem with that? No man can render perfect obedience. Not a single one. David said that he was born in sin, and so are we. In sin, my mother conceived me, is what he actually wrote. We are born with a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, what do we naturally do? We naturally sin. And the wages of sin is death. None of us, not a single one of us, can render to God perfect obedience. We all fail in some point. One commentator points that throughout history, all legalists have been forced to water down the requirements of the law in some manner to uphold their perverted theology. The scribes and Pharisees externalized the law so they could make it easier to keep. They limited its scope to the physical act alone. And Christ deals with that, of course, on the Sermon on the Mount. What does he say? Well, isn't good enough that you just don't commit the act of murder? It isn't good enough that you just don't commit the act of adultery. If you hate someone in your heart, you are guilty of murdering. If you lust after a woman in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. And so he internalizes the law. And listen, it's not bad enough that I can't keep the external requirements of the law. I guarantee you that none of us can keep the internal requirements of the law. And so Paul warns them, if you want to go back to the law as a means of justification, you become a debtor to the law. You have to live in perfect submission and obedience to the law. Now the Judaizers likely accused Paul of not explaining the full demands of the gospel to the Galatians. Thus the apostle responds by telling the Galatians that these false teachers have not explained the full demands of the law. The law condemns man and has no power to save him. It curses man for his failure to obey the law fully and perfectly. Only Jesus Christ can save. The righteousness, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to all who believe in him for salvation. And it is only by being clothed in that righteousness received by faith that God declares us righteous in his sight. Now the third deadly consequence, very quickly, and listen to these shocking words, you have become estranged from Christ. You become estranged from Christ. The word estranged means to be severed or means to be cut off. It is a word that Paul had used in chapter 3 when he says that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul, there's the word, the covenant. To be cut off, to be severed, to annul. If you want to add works to faith in Christ for justification, Paul says you are cut off. Or we might say you are excommunicated. You are severed from Christ. What is he saying? He is saying this. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ at all. Not. Absolutely not. You have cut yourself off. You have fallen from grace. Does that mean we can lose our salvation? It's the way Arminians take it. But that's not what Paul is saying here. He is saying that a man is saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. And that is the only way of salvation. And he is setting that grace of God against the legalism of the Judaizers. You're either saved by grace or by works. One or the other. And if you want to commit yourself to salvation by works, then you cannot be saved by the grace of Christ, because God saves by grace through faith and not as the result of works. Those are the consequences, and they are deadly, spiritually deadly. Add your work to the perfect work of Christ. And hear it again. Christ profits you nothing. Add your work to the perfect work of Christ, and you become a debtor to the whole law. Add your work to the perfect work of Christ, and you cut yourself off from Christ and have fallen from grace. Now, why does Paul say that? He's saying that so they won't do it. He is saying that so that they will not commit themselves to being circumcised, and by that circumcision, saying that they will not only be circumcised, but they will keep God's law in order to be justified. There's only one way to be justified, and that is by faith in Christ. Paul is a shepherd who is concerned about the sheep. He is a pastor who loves the people for whom Christ died. Paul loves the church because Christ loved the church. And Paul is concerned about those people who are members of the church, that they not be re-enslaved, that they not go back into bondage, but that they remain free in Christ. That they make no mistake about it. Justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that is the end of the matter. Now, he will go on to say, and this is important, being justified by faith does not mean that there are no good works that follow, that we can live a lawless and sinful life. Because he will go on to say in verses 5 and 6, "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." Saving faith, and I'll end with this, is a working faith. The faith that trusts in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation is a faith that will produce good works. And we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are startling words from the pen of the apostle. Here we are told the deadly spiritual consequences of rejecting justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Father, we pray that we might not make that mistake. We pray, Father, that we would do as the Apostle Paul commands, and that is that we will stand fast and that we will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We thank you that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Heavenly Father, we pray that as those who have been saved by the work of the Savior, we pray, our Father, that by the Holy Spirit, which is given to those who believe in Christ, that we might indeed produce those works that are an evidence of our salvation. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.